It's not uncommon to find people who claim that they are led by God, or maybe they say they are led by the Holy Spirit. I remember once reading about a man who said, "I'm led by God." And one day I lost my keys. I searched and searched. I thought and thought. I was frustrated. I was getting angry. And I wanted to be led by God to find my keys. And lo and behold, I sat, thought for a little while, and God led me to find them in a drawer. Others claim that they are led by God to marry a certain person. And they may make that pronouncement several times, and then, interestingly enough, 6 months, a year, 5 years later, we're getting a divorce. I've always wondered about that. The idea of being led by God is so popular in our current culture that you can actually find, the internet would be one place, I don't think it's the only place, but you can actually find tips, advice on how to be led by God. Now, I do not believe that advice, those tips are biblical, but they certainly do exist. People, if you listen to them talk about being led by God or led by the Spirit, you at some point will probably hear most people talk about a prompting. And they don't explain that very well, but they say, "I was prompted. I was somehow directed or guided by God or the Holy Spirit." One has written, "The leading may be a word or a feeling or a vision. You may just know. You will have peace with the decision." We are thus surrounded by religious people in the world who claim to be led by God. And if you look at the hymn book that we just used, we certainly have some hymns which talk about being led by God. Remember the hymn, "Lead Me to Calvary"? We sing that sometimes here. Or we have another hymn that we sing, "Lead Me Home Gently, Father." There's another hymn in the book, "Lead, Kindly Lead." So we have religious people talking about leading. We have hymns talking about leading. And when we open up the Bible, we also have information about being led by God. You may remember that familiar psalm in the Old Testament. It's Psalm 23. Very early in that psalm, David talked about leading. He said, "He leads me," or "He leadeth me beside the still waters." We are literally surrounded with the idea of being led by God. The world, the Bible, our hymns. So tonight we ask the question, what should we believe when it comes to the word lead, leading, or led? What does the Bible say about being led by God? Well, as we start this investigation, we might begin with the people of God. The Bible says the saved. Scripture affirms that God's people are led. We wouldn't need to turn any further than Psalm 23, verse 2 to establish that fact. David said, "He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters." But the idea of being led by God exists long before Psalm 23. If you were, and you can kind of skim back through the chapter if you like, but back in Genesis chapter 24, we have here some information that I think is familiar to most people. Abraham had reached a time in life where he was in the later years, and he came to the conclusion that his son Isaac needed a wife. Abraham knew that there were ladies available in the area where he was, but he didn't want Isaac to marry one of the ladies where he was currently living. He wanted his son to have a good wife, a godly wife. He wanted his son to have a wife who knew the one true God. To help ensure that that happened, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24 that Abraham called a servant to him, the oldest servant in his household. And after that servant came to Abraham, Abraham put him under a very serious obligation. Abraham told that servant, "I want you to go back to my homeland. And as you go back to the homeland, you know, trusting in God, I want you to find a woman. I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. And after you find that woman for my son, I want you to bring her back so that my son can have a good wife." Well, as you go through the various events that take place, you get down finally to Genesis chapter 24, verse 27. And if you were to look at Genesis 24, verse 27, you would find that this servant, who travels a considerable distance, who isn't given a lot of specific instructions, that servant comes to a conclusion. He says, "God led me. God led me to find a wife for my master's son." And that's exactly what happened. If we studied all the details in Genesis chapter 24, and this is, I think, a point that is especially worthy of attention, you do not find, at least I can't find, anything miraculous as far as what took place with the servant. As you see, from the moment that he leaves Abraham's side to all the things that take place, getting to that area, finding the woman, everything seems to unfold in a very natural, in a very non-miraculous way. From that, I draw two conclusions when it comes to the idea of leading. First of all, God has, without question, in the past, led his people. Psalm 23, Genesis chapter 24. Second, as we look at the leading in Genesis chapter 24, we have here an example of God leading someone. God leading someone on a long journey, leading him through a variety of things, and yet there was no indication of miraculous activity. There is nothing to suggest that Abraham's servant had some divine whispering in his ear, that there were inner promptings. He sought to do what was right, and God used natural circumstances to help him find the right lady. In our time, I can't know what's in the hearts of people, but I suspect that there are many who believe that if God is really going to use his power, they're going to get some kind of inner prompting, they're going to get some kind of special message from God, because that is their version, that's their understanding of the powerful God. Based on Genesis 24, I'd like to suggest the very opposite is true. God is so potent, God is so powerful, God is so awesome that he is able to lead people, and they didn't even know that he was leading. The leading by God, when it comes to providence, is so amazing, we sometimes may not even know what's taking place. We might sit back at some point and think, boy, that sure worked out well. This came along at the right time. And then there was that happened. And then over here, this occurred. And then we have several other events. And now look where we are. How fortunate we were. Well, indeed, we might be fortunate. But that good fortune may not be because it was a series of random events. But God was leading the process. Not that we were able to see it. Not that there was anything miraculous about it. God has the power to lead. And we may be absolutely clueless about what he's doing because he's working within natural law. A second point about leading, and this is the only passage that I'm going to read tonight, is found in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. We probably remember that God led his people out of Egypt. It was with that strong hand God led his people out of Egypt. But do you remember the little detail from Exodus chapter 13? In verses 17 and 18, we find that as God led his people, he did not take a shortcut. Now for us, generally, shortcuts are prized in life. People want shortcuts for everything. Give us a shortcut to save us time. Give us a shortcut to save us money. Give us a shortcut to save us gas. Give us a shortcut to save material or to save something else. Here God is leading his people, but he does not lead them in the most direct way. Starting with verse 17, Exodus chapter 13. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God, and here's our word, that God led them, and the Bible says he led them not. He was leading them, but he didn't lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although the Bible says that was near. This was the fastest way. This was the most direct way. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent. When they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about. It wasn't the fastest. It was not the most direct route. Now, as we think about God, we might expect that if God is going to lead me, he's going to lead me in the fastest way. He's going to lead me in the most direct manner. But the Bible says, Exodus chapter 13, that that may not be the case. Sometimes, if we think about God leading, he's going to go the long way around the block, so to speak. Now, why God may lead a person, or maybe multiple people, in a less direct way is not always revealed. And sometimes we just have to be satisfied with that in life. But as we look at Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18, one of the lessons I believe that we can draw from that is that regardless if God is leading us in the most direct route, or if God is leading us in a more roundabout route, we can always be assured, we can always believe and know that it is for our good, it's for our best interest. That's what we have stated here. And that would be a general conclusion that we could draw about God. As I think about some, as they consider God leading their life, there are individuals who say, God, I want you to lead my life, and God, here's the map. I'll let you lead my life, but here's the map, and you follow the map, and as long as you follow my map, God, I am more than content to have you lead. That's not the way it works. If we want to be a child of God, if we want God to lead our life, then we need to let God draw the map. If we let God guide our life, it seems, as you look at the scriptures, that some of the journey is going to be unsettling at times. I draw this from what we find in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Switching to the New Testament for just a minute, you may remember that we have some information about the Lord's temptations. As Matthew begins to unfold that information in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, he says, Jesus was led. Now one would think the Lord would not need to be led. But Matthew specifically says Jesus was led. And Matthew tells us who did the leading. In Matthew 4, verse 1, the Bible says it was the Spirit who led Jesus. Where did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus? Matthew says that the Lord led the Spirit into the wilderness. The devil wanted to tempt the Lord, and deity permitted it. The Father allowed the Lord to be tempted over a period of about a month. And the Spirit led Jesus to the right place. We might assume as we think about God's leading that it's always going to lead us into a favorable place, that it's always going to lead us into a desirable environment. Bad assumption. God's not going to lead us into temptation. But he may allow us to be put into some circumstances which will challenge our faith to help us grow. When we think about being led, there should be a fact which is always foremost in our minds. And this comes from the Old Testament, and it might be the most important verse in this lesson tonight. It's back in the book of Exodus. If you were to look at Exodus 15, verse 13, you would find the idea of leading in this verse. But you also find in Exodus 15, verse 13, an additional point. There the Bible says that there's God. God leads people. But Exodus 15, verse 13 also says that God leads people in loving kindness. When I was in Scouts, and I spent several years in Boy Scouts, I can recall how there were a number of times on campouts where older Scouts liked to play tricks on newer Scouts. We typically cooked charcoal, and there was a box where we put charcoal and fired it up, and after it was hot enough, we cooked supper, lunch, whatever, breakfast, whatever it might have been. And there were some Scouts who had probably never seen or used charcoal before. And it was something that was done on a fairly regular basis. The new Scout comes out, maybe a fellow who's grown up in the city. And the older Scouts would say, "We're hungry, we want supper, turn up the heat." And that younger Scout would go round and round the box of charcoal looking for a knob. "Did you turn up the heat?" Yes, I did. "Well, we need you to turn it up some more." And they really enjoyed doing that to the kids. And then after we had some good laughs about that, cleaned up the supper dishes, night fell. And after night fell, there were some more pranks. Several times I can remember how young fellows from the scout troops went on snipe hunts. And if you were a young scout, an uninformed scout, you were told that you don't need your flashlight for the snipe hunt. "Come on out, we will, you know, they hunt better at night and without light. So the stars, the moon will be all you need." So on several occasions, there were young scouts who were led, literally led into the woods, the deep, dark woods. And they were led out to hunt snipes. Well, you can imagine what happened. After the young scouts are out there in the middle of nowhere, far away from camp, the older scouts turned off their lights, ran away from the younger scouts, and the younger scouts were abandoned. Sometimes came back crying, sometimes we'd have to go out and find them. Scouts were led, and scouts were forsaken. I don't know if that's still done, but I can tell you it was done in the past. God says, Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, "I will lead you, but my leading is going to be with loving kindness. I'm not going to let you stay out in the woods by yourself. I'm not going to take you out somewhere and dump you and drop you. I am going to lead you, and it's going to be a non-stop process. I will lead you with loving kindness, with mercy, grace, compassion, and love." And some of that leading is providential, as we've seen from Genesis chapter 24 and the servant of Abraham. Some of God's leading has come through people. As we think about Moses, and that was really the basis for tonight's lesson, Exodus 15, verse 22, that passage says that Moses led Israel. That's right. God raised him up, and God led his people for several years through Moses. We don't always get things right. We sometimes mess up God's will. But even when we blow it, the Bible says that God is still interested in leading us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, the text says that God led Israel for a period of 40 years. That's a long time. But God said, "I'm willing to lead, day in, day out, and this is what I've done for four decades." And as you look at the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 8, verse 15, you have there another very interesting verse, probably the second most important one tonight. God, as he talks about that leading, he said, "Let's go and think about the leading that I did." God said, "I led you," not in an area that was easy and smooth, but God said, "I led you in the desert." He says there was that great and there was that terrible desert. There was that great, there was that terrible wilderness. And God said, as you were out there in that great, terrible, awful desert, I led you. I wasn't like the Boy Scouts who turned out the light and forsook you. I stuck with you. God says, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15, he says there were fiery serpents out there in the desert, but I stood by you. I led you. That verse says there were scorpions in the desert. But God says, I wasn't scared of the scorpions. I led you through the scorpions. He says it was parched ground. There was no water. But God said, I led you. I was your protector. I was there in loving kindness to see you through the time. Perhaps one of the more hostile environments on the planet. And God said to his people, I led you. Most of us have probably known of someone who had a good friend. And the friend said, I'll stick with you regardless of the circumstances. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, I will always be there for you. But circumstances at some point came that were difficult, and that friend was nowhere to be found. That's not the God of the Bible. If we're willing to be led by the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible says, I will stick with you even through the terrible times and places. I will be there. I will go before you. Thus, as we look at the first half of the Bible, when we look at the God that's pictured, we have him time and time again, place after place, different situation after situation, in Egypt, out of Egypt, leading the people of God. Willing to lead a single individual, Genesis chapter 24, or willing to lead an entire nation, Exodus chapter 15. When we look at the second half of the Bible, the New Testament, this same God still exists, and he's still involved with leading people. And with this leading, God offers some warnings. One of the warnings offered by the God who leads is that there are multiple leaders. Now that might come as a surprise. Someone might say, well, I didn't believe that there were other leaders than God. God himself says there are other leaders. Now God is the only perfect leader. God is the only one who offers leadership which will take us to the right place. But God clearly and openly admits that he is not the only leader. If you were to look at Luke chapter 21 verse 8, you have here a passage which was authored by the Lord. And Jesus said, there will come a time where there will be some individuals who want to lead you astray. Jesus himself said, there will be false leaders. God recognizes that there are alternative leaders. When we look at our world, we certainly find plenty of leaders. In virtually every place or virtually every organization, we have leaders. Scout troops have them. Boy Scout troops have them. Girl Scout troops have them. Some good, some bad. When we think about leaders, there are some who want to follow the path of righteousness that God has given. Others want to go in a completely different direction. We have political leaders in this country and throughout the world. And with many of those political leaders comes a boatload of corruption and evil. Various movements in society, some good, some bad, have leaders. And that's not new. Acts 21 verse 38 talks about a movement and it had leadership. There are religious leaders who lead people, whether that's knowing or unknowingly. They lead people into error. Jesus, you may remember in Matthew 15, verse 14, talked about the blind leading the blind. So he certainly knew that there were some people who did not teach the truth, but they were involved with leading others. And the Bible says it is possible to lead others astray in the religious realm. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, he said, there was a time in your life, you Corinthians, when you were led away by dumb idols. Now, somebody might say, well, that's hard to believe that someone would be led away by dumb idols. But Paul said that was true for the Corinthians. And Paul, in another letter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, he said there are some people who are in love with money. They just want to get as much of it as they can. And he said they're led away by that. That desire for money, along with idolatry, has led some people away from the faith. And then in that next letter, as he writes to the young preacher, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says there's something else that can lead us. There he refers to lusts and sins. And there's some people who are led by those items. Of all the verses about leading, though, Old Testament and New, the two that may be the most relevant to us are found in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. It is here that Paul spoke about being led by the Spirit. That information is in the Bible, Galatians 5, verse 18. In another book, which is very similar to Galatians, that would be Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Here's what Paul said. If we are led by the Spirit, we are sons of God. Well, that would seem to be a pretty important verse. If we're led by the Spirit, we're sons of God. The opposite of that would be if we are not led by the Spirit, then we're not sons of God. Based on Galatians 5, verse 18, based on Romans chapter 8, verse 14, are we led by the Spirit of God? Well, the Bible says yes. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, we are not the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The question is not, are we led by God? The Bible says we are. The question is, how are we led by God? Not if, but how. The world suggests that this leading by God is a big mystery, that we get visions and promptings and voices and goosebumps. I have yet to find anywhere in the Bible Scripture talking about these kinds of things. What I do find, though, in the Bible is a reference to power, God's power. You may remember from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul talked about the Spirit. And that's what a lot of people want to emphasize, the Spirit. Okay, you want to talk about the Spirit? Fine, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit has a sword. In that day and time, that was the weapon. That was the deadly weapon. That's what, if people wanted to go after someone or take someone's life, that's what they used. What is the Spirit's power? What is his weapon? Ephesians 6, verse 17 lays it out very clearly. It is the Word of God. If we are going to be led by God, would it not make sense that we are going to be led by God's power? Yes. What is God's power? It is the Word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, 16. What is the Word of God? It's the Spirit's sword, his power, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. That Word, plus divine providence, Genesis chapter 24, allows God to lead people throughout the world. That conclusion is reinforced by the book of Acts. We, I think, recall how from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says people became Christians. They received the Word. And after that Word was received, Acts 2:42 says they continued. They persisted. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Question. Why cling? Why commit wholeheartedly to the apostles' doctrine, to the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit was leading people in some other way? If God is leading us supernaturally or directly, he's giving us that information that people sometimes claim, why not just scrap the Scriptures? Just depend on that direct leading. God leads. He leads through his Word and leads providentially, even though in this life we may never see it. So if someone says, are you led by God? Yes. But what do you mean by that? How do you understand that? God leads through his Word. That is the power. If you want to be led by God, we've got to spend time with the book. It's that simple. We close the book, we're not going to fare very well as far as being led by God. Tonight, are we led by God? Have we been led to faith? We've heard the Word, and because of that hearing, we believe. Have we been led to repentance because of the Word? Have we been led to confess Christ because of the Word? Have we led to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins because of the Word? Have we been led to lead a faithful Christian life because of the Word? It's all there. And it's up to us to decide whether we want to be led by God or led by the other items that we talked about tonight. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Will we respond as we stand and sing the selected song?